Amen. Thank you, worship team. Hey, just to give you a little bit of explanation, I'd ask the worship team if they could do some praise and worship in just a little few minutes. They had some that had already been planned, and I said, I'm going to come up and I'm going to preach, and then we're going to go there, because what I want to preach on is praise and worship. And I think there's a lot of reasons that makes an awful lot of sense why we want to do this tonight. It's not because you have no idea what praise and worship is, but there are times when we need to go back and remember why we should praise and worship. And also, not only in the context of a worship setting, but it's the most convenient for most of us. When we really start thinking about praising and worshiping, you know, there are times when God just shuts you down in your prayer closet and you just feel His presence and you worship. It's different sometimes when we get in this sanctuary, or you get in a setting and you're secluded and you begin to do that. You know, Vince was talking about camp and everything. I'm going to tell you some of the greatest times of praise and worship I've ever experienced is at camp. For a lot of reasons. A lot of reasons make sense. We've been, isolated from the world, if you will. We went to camp. You know, you're there all day long. And then you go to these services. And it's not about getting in bed by 10, because we don't have to be at work the next morning. You know, so you have all of this time. And I've seen it drift over into the cabins and things like that. But praise and worship sometimes is kind of subject to the conditions and the environment we create. So I understand that sometimes we don't get the same opportunity during the week as we do during church service. So I just want to share some things with you. Hopefully it comes a lot more encouraging more than anything else. This is really kind of a loose conversation, if you will, more than anything else. But I just love where we are culturally. And what I mean by that is that, and I want to say, all due respect to everybody and every denomination and the way it's been done for years and years and years prior to, say, the last 10 to 15, 20 years. And that is, you know, when I grew up, and unfortunately my circumstance was a Catholic background, and there really was no praise and worship, if you ask me. It was sacred songs, but it was usually someone or a couple of people did it, and we were following someone else, and a lot of times the music wasn't there to support the environment. I never felt moved by those moments. And there again, extreme caution toward this sounding like I am trashing anybody's frame of praise and worship, because we sometimes in the modern era forget that, you know what, back when Abraham was on the mountain and was fixing to put his son to death as a form of obedience and worship and all the and the times that they praised, and even when we begin and see in Jesus day, they didn't have electric guitars, they didn't have pianos, they didn't have organs, they didn't have sound systems. Many of the things that they did was their praise and worship, and it wasn't voiced or experienced through song. It was what you did that praised Him. So tonight, if we can just kind of diffuse all of those mental images and just visit what praise and worship is to us as an individual, regardless of what setting we get to experience it at, whether music is a part of that, or whether it's a quiet time that you have just for yourself, or whether you find yourself coming to a place like this and just worshiping. Some of the best times I ever had after I first got saved was when a bunch of us were just, I love saying this because it reminds me that we were zealous, if you will, but zealous sometimes sounds super spiritual. We just didn't even know any better, is my whole point. We had great times of praise and worship that we didn't know was praise and worship because we just got saved, a whole wad of us in my high school, and we just wanted to be around God. And there was this little Methodist chapel that was right beside this Methodist church, wasn't too far from our community, that was always open. And we'd go down there on weekends, literally Friday night and Saturday nights, there was always people there, late at night. We're talking about from 10 o'clock on, it was always open. And there was just this sense of just come in and just worship. And you'd feel pockets of prayer going everywhere and things like that. I think I learned more about praise and worship by just figuring it out, just trying to trial and error, than it was instruction. So tonight, I don't want to put us in a box with what I have to say. But let me just give you some encouragement about praise and worship. Now, we're not going to divide the words. We're going to use them together, okay? If you would, just for this evening, praise and worship. I realized that we could do the difference. We could divide them. If we did, then we would probably see ourselves separating them into two different segments, two different settings, and I don't want to do that. But I just want to remind you the power that is in praise and worship. We know that God does incredible things if we're obedient. We know that God does incredible things when we exercise our faith. But when we worship Him, when we praise Him with our hands raised or not, whether it's loud or quiet, whether it's with a verbal expression or whether it's something that is just building up in our hearts, it moves God's heart. And that's what we want to focus on tonight. The first thing, let me just remind you this, is that praise and worship breaks strongholds. I mean, when Satan comes against us, the last thing he wants to hear is that everything's going well in your soul and you're worshiping the God regardless of what's going on. I love those stories in the Bible, and there's several of them, where, you know, it seemed like they were done, that the Israelites were done. And next thing you know, the enemy heard them singing and praising, and next thing they go, we're outnumbered here. They lost heart because of what was going on, because of their praise and worship. It breaks strongholds. I want to take you to Joshua, the 6th chapter. It's probably the first time we really see it exemplified in a physical way. And Joshua rose up early in the morning, and the priest took up the ark of the Lord. And 7 priests bearing 7 trumpets of ram's horns before the ark of the Lord went on continually and blew with the trumpets, and the armed men went before them. But the reward came after the ark of the Lord and the priests going on and blowing with the trumpets. And the second day they compassed the city once and returned into the camp. So they did for 6 days, and it came to pass on the 7th day that they rose early about the dawning of the day and compassed the city after the same manner 7 times. And on that day they compassed the city 7 times, and it came to pass that the 7th time when the priest blew the trumpets, Joshua said to the people, shout, for the Lord hath given you the city. This is the prelude to the walls of Jericho collapsing. And you know, it's just incredible. When you really stop and think of that, and with our finite mind, we have a hard time going there. Those walls came down because of the praise of these people. There was this shout unto the Lord. It wasn't, oh, yea, verily, we say walls come down. No, they were worshiping God. They had practiced this for 6 days. How cool is that? Isn't there sometimes you just wish you could be a fly on the wall back in these biblical days to really see the dynamic, just splendor of God when He responded to people's praise and worship? And time again, we see that throughout there. Here's the cool thing about that. When we are weak or when we are strong, our strength is transferred onto the Lord's strength. Now, if you've ever been in tug of war, it doesn't matter who's going, but you're losing, you know you're going down, then a couple of studs or a couple of big people or whatever get ready to grab the rope, and you start feeling yourself going the other way, you're going, what happened? It's because somebody stronger came and joined you, and next thing you know, we're winning. We're going this way. And that's what praise and worship does. And I realize that you and I, our biggest struggle is that praise and worship is convenient when we're feeling good. It's convenient when we're strong. It's convenient when we have money in the bank. It's convenient when we're healthy. But tell you, your praise and worship needs to be more so when you're weak, when you're struggling. Don't let these things of life silence you in praise and worship. That's the most dynamic time. You know what? I have had the privilege of having Debbie's mom and dad pass away in our home. And in both instances, I'm telling you, even though both of them had some real struggles mentally, you would begin to sing those songs that they knew and that they were associated with, those old hymns mostly. And you would see them perk up. They would have a clear memory, almost, it seemed like, because those songs it just energized something in them. And you could just see them. I remember mom just mumbling it over her lips. Matter of fact, I got to tell you, Debbie and her sisters, they grew up in all of this stuff. And we had a baby monitor, you know, so that we could be in the other room. And if mom needed something, we could hear it. And I forgot to turn it off one night. And I'm in there and I'm singing with her. And we had this old hymnal. And I would kind of get it started, but I'd always have to start on the chorus because I never knew how the song started. And I come out of that, and mom and I had it. Hold down. It was awesome, you know. You know, she was pretty weak, but we had this great time. And I come out, and they are laying in the floor laughing. I said, what is so funny? She said, we wish you could have heard you singing in there. And I got indignant. You know, I said, well, God did. And they laughed more. It was hilarious. But I can remember just what came into that room when we started singing. And, you know, mom was recovering from surgery. She had a tumor removed from her colon. They said 8 weeks, and it was almost 8 weeks to the day, and she was gone. Wow, there was some pretty celebration moments. We turned what would be a horrible circumstance into celebration. What does the world do when they hit that circumstance? and they're trying to connect the dots. They're regretting. They're trying to pull on their own strength. They're going to wonder who's going to do what with their money. Not us. Not us. We just get to rehearse Joshua the sixth chapter. Shout unto the Lord, and God makes everything cool. The second thing is this. God inhabits the praises of His people. I've always been a little amazed at that, that anything we do here on earth can impress the Lord, that will please the Lord. You know, we often talk about we want to bless the Lord. We want to minister to the Lord. I'm telling you, I think it's just the opposite, isn't it? I mean, it's His job to bless us. Not that I don't want to do that, but what do I have to give to Him? What do I have to offer? But the Bible tells us that He inhabits the praises of His people. Let me remind you what that means. Is that God chooses to depend upon your praise. He doesn't have to. He doesn't need us. I love it. Not too long ago, I saw somebody preaching on money. And they said, do you really think God needs your money? Let's just do the math here. Does God really need anything from you? No, He needs you to be a giver for your benefit, not for His. God wants us to praise so that He can be a part of that. And so it connects us in a way that we never dreamed. Inhabit means to this, to live or reside in, to dwell in. Now, it's hard for us to picture it this way because we think to dwell in somewhere is that this body goes inside a building. I dwell in my house. I go home tonight. I will sleep in my house. Now, can we just turn that around, that God decides to exist in the praises of His people? And that's why we feel Him so intensely when we praise Him, when we worship Him, regardless of the fashion of expression, that He says, you know what, this is the house I want to live in. This is where I want to go. And that's what He does. Now, the third thing is this. Praise and worship is three things all at one time. First of all, it's a decision of the mind. It's something we decide to do. You know, the greatest form of discipline that you have along this area is not waiting until you feel like it, not waiting until it's right, but just deciding in my head, regardless of how I feel, regardless if I have a cough, regardless if I'm tired, regardless if I'm feeling strong, regardless of what the money looks like, I'm going to praise the Lord. It's a decision of our mind, but it also is a condition of our heart. We get to contribute to the condition of our heart. We don't have to wait and let the environment be decided for us by the economy or the news. We get to decide what's in here. It's a condition of the heart, but it's an act of the will. It's when we purposely perform, get active, do it. You know, you have probably, every one of us somehow, in some way, has probably experienced this. You get up in the morning, you're just tired, you're wore out. And it's even worse when you don't have to go to work or school. Because then you get to choose whether you just want to lay around and moan and pout and feel bad. But somewhere in there, whatever the motivation is, you decide, you know what, I'm going to get up. And the more you stand up, you know, the more you decide, I'm going to overcome this thing. And you're just going to just keep going and keep going. And next thing you know, your day turns out to be pretty good. And you're surprised at all this. You know what? I'm not trying to give more power than us than is due. But you know what? There is power in just deciding, I'm going to exercise some will here. I have a decision that I can make. I can decide to be a part of this. And that's exactly what I'm going to do. Psalm 7:17 says this, I will praise the Lord according to His righteousness. I will sing praise to the name of the Lord Most High. This is something that we just decide to do. Now, too often, especially in a church setting, we want somebody else to develop that for us. We want the music to develop that for us, or we want the pastor to develop that for us. Now, listen, we have obligations. If we are going to ask you to come to this church, and if we are going to be the pastors and the worship leaders and the Sunday school teachers, and if we're going to be leaders, you know what? We have an obligation to set the environment, to create the opportunity, to give you the privilege. But it's that horse led to water thing. We can lead you to water all we want. Sooner or later, it's got to be up to you. Sooner or later, you've got to decide. Now listen, this is not the point where the pastor beats people over the head and going, now I see some of you sitting. Your hands aren't raised. Listen, we've said it, we've made it perfectly clear around here that we're not going to measure praise and worship by whether you're standing on the pew or standing in the pew or standing at all. Or whether you're where your hands are, where your heart is, how loud you are, anything like that. That's God's situation. That's you. And I hope that I'll never be a pastor that looks at somebody and goes, you know what, they're not praising and worshiping. I have been a pastor that's going, I bet they're sleeping. Now, I've done that a few times, you know. But hey, we're not going to get there, okay? It's an act of the will. And sometimes we just understand it's just because of who He is. Let me show you one other thing with you, too. Praise and worship are action words. They're action words. Now, like I said, I'm not undoing what I just said. Sometimes some of the holiest moments we've ever had, we've just been shut down. I love that picture that I see in my mind anyway. This is my imagination. Isaiah 6, where Isaiah finds himself in the temple and God just invades the temple and he's overwhelmed with the presence of God. I'm going to tell you what, I bet that was a shutdown moment. I could almost just see him go to his knees, if not totally to his face, and laying prostrate right down there on the ground. I can picture that in my mind. There are times that's what being in God's presence is all about. And that's, I've been telling you, at that moment, I mean, it's a part of the praise and the worship, the admiration you have for the Lord. But at that time, it's over there. But you know what? Sometimes we just have to understand that we have to act upon what God has put in here. It's the same thing. You know what? If you see a couple and they just love each other but never say it, it's unheard of. Doesn't make sense. Those of you who have grandchildren, you know, I've got the grandchildren sickness right now. Just got my second one 2 months ago. You know, I was holding her this afternoon. I'm going, oh, boy, is this going to cost me an awful lot? It's already cost me a whole lot, but I'm just going, I just want to give, you know. And I was just walking her around, you know, and she fell asleep, and I go, I am awesome. I made this baby sleep. You know, I wanted to break. It was crazy. But you know what? I am not going to let that little girl, brand new to this world, sit in that room without me holding her. I'm sorry. I don't know how to do that. I really don't. And I just scooped her up, and you know, Deb, I mean, Casey was there. My wife's, you know, still in San Antonio. She'll be back tonight around 9 o'clock. So, you know, just me and my daughter, my two granddaughters. And, you know, so she says, you know, she's okay. And I go, I'm not okay. And I just can't stand it. She's, you know, and I said, well, if I wear her out, too bad. I don't get to see her enough as it is. It was just, God is like that. I mean, you know, just put it into action regardless of what those actions really look like. That word praise in Hebrew means this. To use your hand to throw, but it also goes on to revere or to worship. You know, worship is an action word. It's not just a noun. It's not just another phrase. Every time you see that word praise or worship, it should be something that's moving, something that's going, something that's headed toward God. Because I'm going to tell you what, man, his blessings are not inactive words either, are they? His blessing. Those aren't inactive. Those are something we receive. The fifth thing is this. Praise and worship must be verbalized. Now, there again, take yourself out of the worship and praise context of singing a song or whatever, but it has to be verbalized. Has anybody ever praised you silently lately? Have you ever? You don't hear somebody go, way to go, that was awesome. No, you must be like my crazed mother when I was a wrestler in high school. You must scream as loud as you can. You must make a fool out of yourself. No, I'm just kidding. I don't do it anything like my mom did with wrestling. But I'm going to tell you what, there was only two voices I heard, and that was my coach at the end of the mat, and the other was my mom sitting at the top of the bleachers. She was a verbal woman, and she's still a verbal woman. She's 90 years old. You'll be hearing from my mom next week on Mother's Day. She's not going to be here, but you'll hear from her. She was verbal. My dad wasn't verbal. He was physical. My dad was physical. You know, how much energy does it say to say no anyway? My dad, one word man, no, you know. But always followed by a belt. But my mom, oh, she was verbal. It was awesome. She would sit down and she would talk with us. And when she was angry, you know, this is so cool because, you know, her words just kept coming and it really got the point across. And the longer my mom talked, the smaller I got. You know, my dad, I just went, okay, let's get this over with. I know where we're going. Going to your bedroom, it's going to be the belt. Boom, 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 we're out of here. But with my mom, oh, she was verbal. I got to tell you, we need to verbalize these things a lot more than anything else. Because when we do not praise and worship our Lord and God verbally, then we are communicating that we have nothing to say. And that's not a good place to be. It's not a good place to be. It's okay to not know exactly what to say. I mean, this isn't about using the right words or my words or your words. But it's about being silent versus being vocal. Whether it's in the context of a crowd or whether it's just privately. Psalms 51:15 says this, O Lord, open thou my lips, and my mouth shall show forth thy praise. I was reading this afternoon, and I had to go back and look because I surprised myself. I read it this way. O Lord, open thou my lips, and my mouth shall spew forth thy praise. I went, wow, that's pretty And then I would look, I'll go, oh, no, it says show, because I was in the King James. But you know, it's a pretty cool picture of God. He's just, you know what? We have to just get busy and open our mouth and praise him. The sixth thing is this. Praise and worship is not instinctive. It has to be practiced. It has to be practiced. And if it's going to be maintained, it has to be a skill that has to be constantly put into active. Everybody knows what atrophy is around here, don't you? If you've ever had a broken bone and this arm or leg has been immobilized for weeks or whatever, if it were to do that for an ongoing period of time, atrophy would set in. That muscle wouldn't disappear, but it would go smaller and smaller and smaller. The bones don't change, it's just that muscle. You know why? Because a lack of use, it will reduce in size, it will reduce in strength and efficiency. And that's the same thing with our praise and worship. It has to be practiced. It can't be something that we just think it's going to happen. And if you notice, like I was saying, when I first got saved, I didn't know anything about praise and worship. Every church I went to, they didn't praise and worship collectively, so I didn't know how to praise and worship privately. And then God really helped me out and introduced me to the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And man, that cut me loose. That cut me loose. It was a fabulous day when I got introduced to the Holy Spirit. And man, that expression was unbelievable. I so remember those times. The seventh thing, one more after this, God honors praise, not praise that just goes through the motions. It has to come from the heart. It has to come from the heart. You know, there are times when we know what to do, and what I mean by that is when you come in here, you know, we're structured enough to where you can pretty much predict a couple of things that we're going to do. You know, we're a church. We're always going to take up an offering. You know, you don't know whether we're going to have each other greet each other all the time, but pretty much all the time we're going to do that. You know, we're going to have some songs that we're going to sing, some announcements. We're going to have some preaching. You know, you can pretty much script what we're going to do here, can't you? I mean, because sometimes it just says, but you can never really decide for somebody else whether it's going to come from the heart. You can only do that from yourself. You can only decide whether this really comes from the heart by your own personal decision. And when it does, therefore, you begin to understand and feel what God is saying to you and what you're saying to God, because it comes from the heart. I'll tell you, you can pretty much, you know, see through all this stuff that sometimes people say, and you know they don't mean it. That whether somebody's trying to win your favor and suck up to you, if you will, or whether they're trying to fool you and con you into something, you can sense people who are ingenuous. But you know what? When we really embrace God, the genuine part of our lives begins to spill over into those things. Psalms, the 9th chapter, verse 1 says, I will praise thee, O Lord, with my whole heart. I will show forth all thy marvelous works. I will be glad and rejoice in thee. I will sing praise to thy name, O thou most high. He says there, with my whole heart. Listen, nobody sits in church and goes, ah, that's only about 75% they're giving over there. We need to go tell them to give it all or don't go home. It's not about comparisons. Because, you know, sometimes it's really hard to praise God from your whole heart when you have burdens, when you have things that are going on in your life. But I'm going to tell you what, if you want to find the whole heart part of it, then you push through all of those problems and you push through the pain, if you will, and you push through all of the circumstances that are coming against you and the opposition, and you bust through there. It's like a rocket, if you will, that once it leaves the pull of gravity, it is free. It is free. And that's where the whole heart worship will take you. Last thing is this. You know, it's okay to worship. It's okay to worship and praise God. Not that anybody would say it's not okay, but sometimes we just have to understand it's okay. We get permission. You know, if you've ever been in a tough situation, you didn't exactly know what to do, and you kind of wanted to do something, but you're maybe a little apprehensive, wasn't it cool when somebody came up and said, hey, listen, if you want to do this, that's okay. Because you know where you get that? You don't get that from your friend who just wants to be an encourager. You get that from somebody with authority. You get somebody who gives you permission. And they not only is it it's okay, but they grant you their personal permission and support in that. And God is saying, listen, it's okay to praise and worship me. And the reason for that is because not only is it appropriate, but it's the door that opens so many other things to us. Every one of us could tell a story to this extent. I can remember I was going through this or that, and then I just found it all break loose, and things began to come together, if you will, or I began to see the breakthrough when I began to really praise and worship my Lord and God. You know why? Because all of these details you were dealing with became secondary to the primary in your life, and your primary was your Lord and your God and your Savior, Jesus Christ, and we do that through praise and worship, and it's a wonderful thing to do. Let me just give you this last picture before, matter of fact, I'll ask the worship team to come on back up. I looked this up, and in Matthew, the 4th chapter, verse 10, it says this, "Then said Jesus unto them, Get thee hence, Satan, for it is written, Thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve." Thou shalt worship the Lord thy God. You remember this is when Jesus was being tempted in the wilderness by Satan, and he uses the word of God. He says, "Get thee behind me," and he says all this. And that word worship, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, it literally means to fall on your face before God in that reverence position that we all understand and have seen. We know that. But it also has a secondary little thing. It's tied to the tradition of when most of us would go back to, you know, the early days of knighthood and that type of thing. When you would meet a king, you would go to your knee and you would kiss his ring. Why did you do that? You didn't do that in submission. You did that in honor and reverence. You did that on earthly basis to honor his kingdom and to honor who he was as a king. We do it to God not only to do that, but to also embrace him as our king, as our king. I don't know what God's done for you lately, but I know this much, that when God really bails us out, our only response beyond thankfulness is just worshiping him. Why did he do that? Why did he have to do that? The more important question is, why did he want to do that? God created us so that we would love him. And if that sounds a little too much of a one-way street, then you need to understand there's no way we're ever going to catch up, ever get close to honoring God with our obedience or our lives with what he did by just simply giving his son Jesus Christ to us. So tonight I want to encourage you to create an experience for yourself in the context of these next couple of songs that we're going to sing. We're going to use the medium of music to give us the permission and set the atmosphere, but it doesn't make the decision whether your heart's going to be involved at all. This isn't the act of will because we're going to ask you to stand and sing these words that are going to put up on the screen. No, all of that comes from what you do. My hope and prayer for you tonight is that we're not going to try and create this circumstance that is defined by a pastor or a worship song. But there again, just to give you the permission, it's okay to worship the Lord. And matter of fact, I encourage you to worship the Lord tonight. You're just awesome people in that, you know, you'll do what the church asks you to do. Hey, would you stand with us? We're going to worship. Would you give in this special offering? You guys bless people like crazy. You know, every now and then, God wants you to have an opportunity for you to just have a worship moment just for you and him. And hopefully, the best of our ability, that's what we can do tonight. Amen? Let me pray my final prayer, and then I just want to come down and be a part of what you're doing. I'm going to ask you to stand in just a second. And if you want to move, that's fine. But I'm going to tell you, there's just something about this altar. I know you get tired of me calling you to the altar, but, you know, I'll never get tired of asking. I'll never get tired of it because I'll never get tired of seeing what happens in an altar. I'll never get tired of seeing when people gather together, there's something about leaving the pew and coming to the altar. It's not geography because it's not about moving from here to here. It's about moving from here to there. Amen? Father, in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, if we not had the opportunity to really praise and worship you today, I pray, Father, not for the sake of a song and not because of a song, but because of who you are, we just want to come and gather tonight to lift our hands and lift our hearts. Some of us, Lord God, this is something that we're still learning. But I pray, Father, that tonight we will praise and worship you. We will embrace you, that you will inhabit our praises, that we will feel your heart, you will feel ours. I pray that we will feel the pure encouragement and support and the permission from God to just love you. I pray, God, that we will leave this earth for the next few minutes and be nothing but heavenward bound in our minds, in our hearts, and in our spirit. Bless us tonight, Father, as we do our very best to praise and worship our God, our Savior. In Jesus' name, amen.